1380 WPHM on a pretty regular basis. We've been in communication with the top docs at McLaren Port Huron Hospital about COVID-19. The chief medical officer, Dr. Michael Tawney, and infectious disease specialist, Dr. John Brooks, online with us this morning. Gentlemen, good morning.
Greetings, Paul.
Well, gentlemen, it's been about a week since we last spoke. What's new, if anything, since then related to COVID-19 at McLaren Port Huron?
Well, Paul, we've seen a continued decrease in the level of COVID activity and COVID-related patient illnesses here. The number of inpatients that we have there being treated for either positive COVID or suspected COVID has continued to decline. And so we see the trend continuing to go in a favorable direction for us. And so what we've been concentrating on here this last week is not only the care of those patients and our other inpatients, but getting our operations back on track to where we were before. And that primarily has to do with in the surgery area, where surgeries and procedures that have been postponed on patients for now going on 2 months will start to be in a stepwise fashion resumed. So that's
certainly
our
some
main
good
emphasis
news
right now.
That's good to hear. It sounds like what we have been doing over these last couple of weeks has been working, hasn't it?
It really has been. I mean, we've certainly, as you know, been restricting the visitor activity here at the hospital and keeping really things really pretty tightened down and making sure that our cleanliness and sterility and all the things that we do are right at the top level. So we've been very satisfied with the progression of things here locally, and I think the measures we've taken to be safe and preventative has really paid off.
How do we keep doing that moving forward? Because now we're beginning to explore ways to reopen certain things here in Michigan. What are some of the practices that we need to keep in place as we do that?
So what I'll chime in on that, Paul, is that, you know, the social distancing, we think, has been quite effective. The other thing that we think is helping is that as of the last bit of time, people masking in public. So when we put on a cloth mask and we're out in public, that really is containing your respiratory secretion. So we're thinking that this combination of, you know, when you have to go to Lowe's, that they have you 6 feet from the people in the line in front of you and people are masking, is that the person-to-person interactions are such that it's reducing the ability to transmit the virus. So we have lots of difficulties, though, right? Because our testing isn't perfect. And as we've seen from the Detroit area, the Beaumont system of trying to test their employees with a blood test hasn't been going real well. So we're really trying to get our technology to catch up so we can do a better job of testing people both for the actual infection as well as people who are immune and who actually have antibodies and actually truly have immunity. Because there is a difference between having some antibodies saying, hey, I had the infection, versus I have antibodies that are protecting me and I don't get the infection again. So there is so much out there that we're working on trying to keep things going in the right direction, which is why we may hear lots of different things, but the keep going in the current mode of limiting person-to-person interactions, masking in public, are going to keep going on for quite some time. But one of the things we do want people to know is that this is a really important point, is that the ER is open, and we are here to take care of people. So if you're at home and you're having chest pain, or you have shortness of breath, or you're having new stroke-like symptoms, you shouldn't be waiting. You need to come to the ER as quickly as you can so we can intervene. We are not overwhelmed in the ER. I know people may be seeing stories out of, you know, New York where, you know, it's just so busy that ERs are cram-packed. We're not like that. We have enough space to take care of anybody that has an emergency, and we would really hope they would come and get care.
That's good to know. I want to ask you about this new drug that we're hearing about, remdesivir. It sounds like this is at least the most promising potential, if not cure, certainly a treatment for COVID-19. I know it's brand new. They still have more testing to do on it, but what do you know about that at this point?
So remdesivir is a very interesting drug because this is an Ebola drug. So that's where this came through. So there's different kinds of viruses. And when we look at the SARS-CoV-2, which is the COVID-19. It's a virus that's called an RNA virus. So that's in the general broad world of like an Ebola virus. Not that it's Ebola, but they both use RNA to make more of themselves. Mm-hmm. So the drug to treat Ebola, remdesivir, is an RNA-active antiviral. So, you know, people that have cold sores may know about acyclovir. It's a common oral antiviral drug. So people know that we do have antiviral drugs like Tamiflu for the flu. So remdesivir is a specific antiviral medicine, and it's in the current preliminary data that's coming out, seems that people that are getting that drug have improved morbidity and mortality. So morbidity is illness, mortality is death. So we kind of like to have people that have less illness and less death. So it is pretty early. It is preliminary data, but it is somewhat promising. In the state of Michigan, there's only two sites that we're aware of that are able to even get the drug because it's in such short supply. And we are hoping that if this trial goes well, then we'll be able to get a much more expanded access to the medication to help treat many more people.
How long does something like that take?
Oh, this is going to be weeks and weeks, that part we're sure of. We really need to get some better data so that they can expand the access of the drug to more people.
All right, very good. In the meantime, not a lot has changed in terms of what we need to be doing. We're hearing, you know, what you're saying about masking, wearing masks, keeping social distance, hand washing, don't touch your face. All those things still apply, don't they?
They sure do, Paul. And the congregating part, I think, is one of the tough ones because we've got a lot of summer activities in store, and people are wondering whether anything's going to be taking place or not. I think there's going to be a very gradual, slow return to those activities, but this social distancing and limiting of the numbers of people either at a gathering, in a church, inside a restaurant, I think are all going to undergo some significant remodeling and overhauling. So we're in for a rather interesting transition point, Paul, but I think if we take this stepwise fashion, I think we'll be able to get ourselves where we need to be in a relatively reasonable amount of time.
Well, we sure hope so. It's been just such a huge change in how we live our lives in this last couple of months, and we're not we're not out of the woods yet, as the governor keeps saying. We've still got a long way to go, but if we can take some baby steps in the right direction, that would be great. In the meantime, don't take your foot off the pedal. Keep doing the right things, and we'll get through this. Any other things that you want the public to know at this point?
Well, I just want to thank the community, Paul, for being cooperative and understanding the necessity for visitor restriction here at the hospital. I know it's tough when a loved one is in the hospital and having a procedure done or in for a medical stay, but it's really important. We're able to really restrict the people that do come on in so that we make sure there's no other possibility of contamination of the facility or other patients in the process. So they've been extremely helpful and really understanding and cooperative, and I think the community has really stepped up and been very generous in their understanding as well as their support that I've mentioned in the past. And so for that, we're very, very thankful and appreciative of all the understanding and cooperation we've gotten.
Dr. Tony, Dr. Brooks, we appreciate you joining us this morning as you do every week. Thanks so much for your time and continue to be well and stay safe.
Good day. Our pleasure, Paul. Same to you.
Thanks, guys. 1380 WPHM in Port Huron. Dr. Tony, Dr. Brooks at McLaren Port Huron Hospital on WPHM.